Hey, welcome to another episode of the On.NET Show. Today we've got Bram, and he's going to be telling us about Azure Event Grid. So quickly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm the PM for Azure Event Grid, and I've been with Microsoft for about a year and a half now.
Okay, and how's that been working out?
It's been pretty awesome so far.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. Well, you ended up on this show, so
yep. Yeah,
it's pretty
made
good.
Made it to the promised land.
Yeah, totally. So how about you tell us about Event Grid, and what kind of cloud domain does it fit into?
Yeah. So Event Grid is a messaging product, and it's meant to be basically a connective tissue for all of Azure. So what we're doing is building first-class integrations with pretty much every Azure service. And when there's a state change, those services will emit an event. And these can be pointed to pretty much any endpoint or built-in event handlers within Azure.
Okay. So pretty much all the Azure teams I talk to tell me that they're the connective tissue of Azure. So why are you really the connective tissue of Azure?
Yeah. So the goal is here. We're building a pub/sub system. But within the ecosystem of Azure, we don't want customers to have to go build one-off connections or even write a lot of code to get up and running. So it's really a browse and select sort of operation. You say, I want to listen to my storage account. Anytime a blob is created, send an event to this Azure function to handle it. It's supposed to be very quick and easy to get set up, sub-second end-to-end latency.
Right. So what I hear you saying is, if I'm a function, or I've deployed a Docker container, or app service, mm-hmm. it doesn't really matter. I can either participate in sending events mm-hmm. or receiving them.
Exactly.
And does this relate to just if my code is running in Azure, or are there some not in Azure scenarios like desktop that are relevant, or even IoT?
Absolutely. So we are we do have first-class integrations with Azure, but we are also a general-purpose pub/sub system. So you can emit events from your desktop application. You can receive them at pretty much any public HTTP endpoint. So you are not restricted to native Azure event types or Azure as a system at all. You can connect any services or anything that can run code, really.
Right. So if I had a console app that cared about blobs in a particular blob storage account, could I get events every time one of those was updated and then just write those to the console?
Yeah, absolutely. You would.
Wow. Yeah. and you're saying, sub-second latency. So pretty much as those blobs were being, updated, it would be almost instantaneous.
Yeah, it enables real-time reactive programming with your Azure resources.
Wow. Yeah. Now, clearly with Event Grid, I imagine people are using it within Azure, mm-hmm. With functions or whatever. Have you seen people using it in this other way that we kind of talked about, either with desktop applications, IoT applications, or even web applications that are running on-prem?
Yeah, totally. We have a number of customers that have, various files that they're generating. They're dumping them into a store, and then they want to go process them on-prem. So they're firing events, picking them up, and going and taking these files and processing them elsewhere.
I see. So it's, clearly there's customers that are all on-prem, and there's mm-hmm. another set of customers that are all in the cloud. And so I guess the scenario we're talking about is really interesting for these customers that kind of have this sliding window for how much of their work is being done on-prem and how much is being done on Azure.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. So back to Event Grid. What would you say are maybe the three most popular ways that people are using Event Grid today that you see?
Yeah, so the first one is certainly serverless. So this is, I have changes happening, state changes happening to my various services in Azure, and I want to react to them in a way that requires writing code, but I don't want to, host my own infrastructure. I just spin up an Azure function and point my Event Grid subscriptions to those functions or those logic apps, and I can get up and running incredibly quickly. The second big scenario we see is ops automation.
Right.
So we've integrated with Azure Resource Manager so that anytime a control plane event happens within Azure, Azure Resource Manager emits events as well. So we can basically subscribe to events on a resource group or an Azure subscription when a VM is created or a SQL database is deleted, and we can point those events to any endpoint where we're running a script or a function, and do things like, you know, check for proper protocols, tag the VM, whatever needs to be done there. And then finally, the third big scenario we see is general purpose pub sub. So we are, you know, we fully support, as we've talked about a little bit, you know, you can have an on-prem system that is using EventGrid to publish its own events and consume them on-prem, or those hybrid scenarios we talked about as well.
Right. So if you're more familiar with one of the other clouds, what would be the analogous service that is in that cloud? And does it have the same feature set as EventGrid?
Yeah, so if you're more familiar with Google, the analogous service there would be Google's PubSub. Google PubSub is just a general purpose PubSub engine. It doesn't have filtering on the wire like EventGrid, and it certainly doesn't have those first party integrations that EventGrid does. If you're more familiar with AWS, their service over there would be SNS, Simple Notification Service. They have recently introduced filtering on the wire. And this is actually a pretty cool feature that both EventGrid and SNS have. This is basically you're publishing events and you're sending them to multiple different event handlers that are subscribed to these events. If a certain endpoint doesn't want to consume all the events before on the wire filtering, it would have to filter at its own endpoint. You're wasting cycles and compute. Now we filter on the wire. So you only listen to specific event types if
right.
you want.
And presumably there might be a latency win there as well?
Not really. It's
okay.
In the milliseconds.
Okay.
Not something that customers will notice
okay.
with
so
the filtering.
So it's more the comp cost.
Yeah.
CPU cost. Okay.
Yeah. There would be latency if you were filtering on your endpoint and you had really high throughput. We scale out incredibly well horizontally, so we don't see latency issues.
Sorry, I meant on the other side.
Ah, sorry, yeah. Then there, you if you, in high throughput scenarios, you do start to see latency,
yeah.
you get clogged up.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and the other part of EventGrid is those first class integrations that we have that doesn't exist in SNS. If you wanted to do something like that, you would have to first use a Lambda trigger and then pipe it to an SNS endpoint and then go from there. EventGrid instead, we are trying to be kind of a uniform, ubiquitous eventing substrate.
Connective tissue.
Connective tissue.
Definitely.
Have I convinced you?
Yeah, I'm definitely convinced. So I want to go back to this VM scenario that you mentioned, because
sure.
I think the functions one is pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. So I haven't done this particular scenario, so I'm going to kind of make something up and you can tell me if this is true. I kind of imagine that there's these applications that people have built that do need to create VMs who haven't kind of found the one true way yet with mm-hmm. EventGrid. And they get to this point where they have to create a VM. They actually have to have another VM running that actually kind of manages this. It creates the VM through ARM and then kind of like connects to that VM and has a script that runs. That makes sure that VM is created correctly.
Mm-hmm.
It feels kind of like very procedural and very kind of like both has to create the VM and then configure it and potentially has to have this other VM running all the time. With the thing you mentioned, it seems like it's much more reactive.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, maybe there's VMs created of one type that need to be configured one way, and,
mm-hmm.
and then VMs of another type that need to be created another way, and then you just have these listeners that do the right thing in the right situations. Is it kind of like that?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, so even before EventGrid, we did have Azure Automation in Azure. So you could run your scripts there, but you still have the problem of you need to know that a VM has been created. You have to actually send something to that script. And trigger it. So with EventGrid, now you don't have to have prior knowledge. You don't have to make sure you're hitting the right script. It will just listen to all control plane events coming into whatever resource group or Azure subscription you pointed at. And anytime a VM is created, you don't really have to do anything. It'll just trigger that automation script. It'll run the script and tag the VM, send a message to a Slack channel, whatever you really need.
Yes. Teams.
Teams.
Can you tell me, some of this feels a little similar to queues, which is obviously this existing
mm-hmm.
feature in Azure. Can you compare and contrast?
Totally, yeah. I mean, at a high level, the big difference is that a queue is push-pull semantics, and event grid is push-push semantics. The other big difference is that queues are, we put them out there as a general tool, and you write your own code to push things to it, you write your own code to pull from it. While you can do that with event grid, you can get up and running and use our first class integrations without needing to do that. And in fact, one thing we're actually working on is actually a queue integration for event grid, so you could push your events, your native events, to a queue. So if you have a scenario where you're not up all the time to receive these events, you could wake up, look at your queue, say, oh, event grid has pushed some events to my queue, I'll pull them now and consume them.
That's a little bit like when you land in the plane and turn your phone on, and then all of a sudden, like, all these text messages.
Totally. It also works for buffering scenarios if you can only handle certain throughputs for spiky workloads and anything else.
Makes sense. Yeah. So I'm guessing that there's a Visual Studio story for this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe even for .NET. Mm-hmm. So how about we take a look? I think you've got a sample here.
Yeah.
I guess before we dig deep into it, can you show me, is there a NuGet package that people can look for?
So our NuGet package is available on NuGet.org. We have both a runtime and a management NuGet packages.
Right, so this one's called Microsoft.Azure.EventGrid, and can you click that dependencies node so we can see? Okay, so it looks like it's supported to all the way back to .NET Framework 4.5.2, and there's also a .NET standard library. So that'll work on also .NET Framework, but .NET Core and Xamarin. So that seems to be covering a lot of bases.
Absolutely.
Nice. Okay, let's look at Visual Studio.
Yeah. So what we have here is a pretty simple sample. It's just using our publish SDK. It's connecting to an event grid topic, and a topic is just your entry point to event grid if you're publishing your own custom events to event grid. And we're just publishing a very simple new employee event that I have here created. We can go over to the Azure portal and create event subscriptions on this topic we're publishing to, point them at a function. I can show you how quickly this happens in real time.
Yeah, please do.
And we can actually go consume those events. So this is the function that we're interested in sending our events to and handling them from. So we just need the endpoint URL for this. I'll copy that. And I have in this tab our event grid topic. So this is just a DNS endpoint that we have the keys to send our events. I create a new event subscription. I can say it's net events. I give it the endpoint that I want to aim it at. And I hit create. And as soon as that is done deploying, we will see a new event, a validation event pop up here. So the validation event is our kind of security measure. What the validation event does is so event grid in a way, because we have massive fan out capabilities and very high throughput, is kind of the world's largest DDoS.
Yeah, I know. I thought you were headed that direction.
So the first thing that our code is going to do here is actually handle a validation event that we send every new endpoint that we register. So we're just going to look for that validation event. And when we receive it, we're just going to echo back the validation code. And that just means that I own this endpoint.
Is it kind of 2FA for event grid?
Yeah, in a way.
Okay.
Definitely. So it
seems like we have to use 2FA for basically everything these days.
Yeah. So our script here is set up to actually handle a number of different event types. I'm just using an if check to see if we're having a validation event, a blob created event, or this new employee event. So this is just a really simple function that could handle a bunch of different event types being thrown at it. So if I open my log and then I go back to my Visual Studio project, I can just hit this endpoint with a with an event that we're spitting out, and we'll see it appear pretty much instantaneously on the other end.
Okay, so this is the side that's sending the event, is that correct?
Yeah, we're sending the event from Visual Studio.
Is it because you might have the console locked by that block? Yeah, I've just started again. Sometimes when you select,
there we go.
Yeah, it's totally what happened.
So we should see an event. Have our unsubscription here.
Everything's configured correctly.
Yep, just checking I have everything configured correctly. These are the events that I had published earlier. Interestingly enough, for some reason, we're not getting an event through.
Hopefully we're connected to the internet here.
Yeah. Let me just create a second event subscription.
Right, so we're demonstrating the diagnostic kind of patterns that you would use for this.
So we have our endpoint here. Let me just make sure. Yeah, that should be. Well, I'll just overwrite that old endpoint to make sure that we have the right one, save the changes. It has succeeded, so we should have, we should be getting a validation event right now, and we're not, which is interesting.
Yeah, let's run the client side code.
Yep. Let's see if I got it running. Ah, okay. There we go. So we just got that event through.
So maybe it just somehow we ran the client side wrong the first time.
Yeah, I either ran the client side wrong the first time or I just didn't properly connect it. We should now see. I think I might have just not copied the full URL or something. If we click on metrics here, we would see the way we would diagnose this is this has a little bit of latency. We're working on improving that, but soon, if we wait a minute or two, we would see our successful and failed delivery count show up on this graph. But all we did was we matched our event type as our new employee event, and we wrote to the line to the console. Their name, who they're reporting to, and their email here. Obviously, we could do much more interesting actions on receiving an event.
Totally, but this kind of demonstrates the fundamental.
The fundamentals, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Right, so this is obviously live in Azure.
Mm-hmm.
People can go and use this today.
Yeah.
So, so they obviously would download the NuGet package, but from an Azure standpoint, do they create a new Event Grid subscription? Is that kind of what happens?
Yeah. So there's a couple ways to use it. So if you want to send your own custom events, first you would create a new topic. And this pretty much just gives you your entry point into Event Grid. You just give it a name, a resource group you want it to live in, and what location you want it to be in.
Right.
And now you can send all of your events from different sources or a whole bunch from a single application to this endpoint. And then once you have that topic, you can go create event subscriptions on it. The other option is if you go to a storage account, for example, you will actually see Event Grid as an option in your resource menu here.
So that'd be that blob scenario I talked about earlier.
Yeah, exactly. And here you just create new event subscriptions. You again point them to whatever endpoint you want, and you click create. And now anytime someone creates new blobs or deletes them in this storage account, you get an event fired to this endpoint every single time.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think we've learned quite a bit about EventGrid today. I certainly think I've picked up enough knowledge that I could use that. Mm-hmm. Amazingly enough. any closing thoughts or, you know, resources that people can look at that you'd like to share?
Yeah, so azure.com/EventGrid takes you to our product page where you can view our documentation, learn more about it. And we're very excited for where we're going in the next year or so. We're working quite closely with a number of people's favorite product teams in Azure to have more and more integrations. So it's only going to become a more powerful tool as we go.
Right. Awesome. Okay, well, thanks for coming by, Brahm, and telling us about EventGrid. And this has been another episode of the On.NET Show. Thanks for watching.